Hey, real quick, the middle school youth group, guys, is going to be having a holiday party over at the Meads house. So next weekend, their normal group, there'll be more details coming out about this week. At the youth group this week. But next Sunday, the middle school youth group will be meeting over at the Meads house. They'll be having cookie decorating, ugly sweater. Just kidding. Hey, no, but they're going to have a good time over there, the middle school youth group. They're going to have their Christmas party next Sunday. But this Sunday, come on, the youth group is having their Christmas party, the lit Christmas party over here. Let's give it up for them. Guys, I want to tell you this, and I'm so proud of these guys. Our youth group, they're doing a great job. Our middle school youth group. I mean, if you have kids that are in that age group, from sixth grade up to high school, up to senior, we've got something for them now. So praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. So, hey, these guys are having their Christmas party today. They're going to be hanging out, having a good time over there. So that'll be today after service. Also, Legacy, our women. I almost got one by them. They were sleeping. But hey, they're having their gift exchange out there. They've set the table up back here at the back of the hall. So when you come in, the gift exchange, if you guys brought gifts, of course, drop them off before the service, which was 20 minutes ago. But after the service, if you dropped a gift off before the service, go out there and exchange your gift. They'll be out there at the table down at the end of the hall. Thank you guys so much for what. And now where's our men at? I have no announcements for the men. I just wanted to do that. I have no announcements for the men. I just wanted to see how y'all was doing today. All right. How's the men doing today? All right. But the Legacy Gift Exchange will be back at the end of the hall if you guys brought gifts to exchange for that. And also, prayer and fasting, guys. We have, come on, somebody. We are having our Christmas service. I want to say this. I just changed on them. See that? We're having our Christmas service. Can we go to that one? I'm sorry. On December the 22nd. That is next Sunday, y'all. Praise God. This is our third Christmas service. Can you believe it? Well, time flies when you're having fun, don't it? I mean, I'm not against it. I'm not against it, I'll tell you. I'll do interpretive dance while singing if that's what y'all require. I'm telling you, I've got the whole package here. We are, though. Our Christmas service, guys, it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a good time just exalting the Lord December the 22nd, next Sunday. It's going to be a packed house in here, guys. I mean, look around. It's pretty full in here as it is. But if we can, again, guys, just kind of, we're going to have the ushers, helping out with that. But if we can just kind of congregate to the middle, and have room for the guests as they come in, just to kind of have places to sit, the empty seats that are kind of in the middle. If we can just help out with that, please. Thank you. We only have a limited amount of seats in here. We're going to put chairs up over on the sides and we'll, make it work as best we can and see if we can get everyone in here. That's what we want to do, is make it happen. Amen. 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 And now prayer and fasting. We had to get through Christmas to get to this part. So there's five Sundays in December, which makes it a little, unique. So actually, our Christmas service is the 22nd. Then on the 29th, we'll be talking more about this, our prayer and fasting. But on January the 5th, guys, everybody say January the 5th. I want you to be praying about it. I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to just kind of be figuring out where the Lord is leading you to fast from. Fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual gain. We know that that's what it means, but it would be pointless for you to fast from food and stay on Facebook all day. So it's fasting for a spiritual purpose and praying and fasting and praying, and right? They go together. So it'd be, honestly, really think about it. It'd be weird to fast for something and then promote all your time to something else. Amen? Instead of to praying and fasting like we're supposed to. So I'm just saying that. So whatever, just be praying about it. We got a few weeks before we go into that. Whatever you feel like the Lord is leading you to fast from, social media, food, whatever it is, that's between you and the Lord. We're not going to get legalistic about it. But we are, guys, going into a time of prayer and fasting as a church. There are different fasts. There are personal private fasts that we do. I do things in my life and my private fasting time that you'll never know nothing about because it's none of your business. but we also do corporate fasting, and that's what I'm calling our church to. Corporate fasting is we're fasting together as a body. Amen? That's what I'm calling you guys to. Again, not to get legalistic about it, but I do want to say that just be praying about it, whatever the Lord leads you to be fasting off of, guys. We know that we are in the process of, just being honest, that we need money to build a building. Amen. And that's what we're praying and fasting for. We're seeking the Lord for financial provision for this church. We're seeking the Lord to figure out what our next step is as elders, as the leaders of this church. And more importantly, you guys. This is your church too. Amen. And if we don't have 100% involvement, we might. Guys, we need y'all. Amen. 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 Say amen, church. Amen. We're building a body. We're building the body of Christ here, y'all. Praise God. Praise God. So I just wanted to say that. Just be preparing your hearts for that. Coming up in January. It'll be January the 5th. Everybody say January 5th. January. We're going to go those first 3 weeks of January, the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th. Those 3 weeks there of prayer and fasting. And just seeking the Lord, okay? Amen? Amen. I think that's all I got as far as announcements for y'all. So I just be praying about it. It's important for us. And I'll say this to you guys. And we'll talk about it again more in December on the 29th. But I don't really remember, and this is the truth, y'all. I don't ever really remember starting a year off because we've done it for so long. I don't remember starting the beginning of a year off without a fast. I'm serious. I mean, it's been so long, through the years of other churches and stuff that we've done this, and I really honestly don't remember starting off a new year without a fast. Amen. And I will tell you, we've been blessed because of it. We've been blessed because of it. Amen. Amen. So it's important. Last week, guys, we talked last week about preparing a room. How many of you were here last week? Praise God. Come on. Thank you. Give yourself a hand because you came back twice. I didn't run them off, Tara. Hey, praise the Lord. But we talked about that last week and how during, especially in this Christmas season, we should prepare a room in our lives for the miraculous. Amen. We talked about how the Apostle Paul had wrote the letter to Philemon and told him, and one more thing. Is that not the most annoying thing you've ever heard in your life? When somebody says that to you, and one more thing. And Paul told him, he said, I want you to prepare a room. Right? And we have to prepare a room. I will say this to you. We would, again, and I talked about it last week, but we would be telling a whole different story about the innkeeper had he prepared room for the miraculous. Amen? We would be singing songs about the innkeeper. He would be in part of your nativity scene. Amen? If he would have just prepared a room. And this morning, I want to talk to you about how that there is a gift that's promised that's so pertinent. Listen to me very carefully. There is a gift that has been promised that is so pertinent to us today during this Christmas season in the story of Christmas, and it's completely overlooked. Amen. If the king of Israel invited you to come and you came without a gift, it was considered to be an insult. If the king of Israel invited you to come and you came without a gift, guys, listen, it was considered to be an insult. So important was the gift. Even though the king was immeasurably wealthy, he didn't need your gift, but so important was the gift, and you could be extremely poor. He didn't matter. The king was immeasurably wealthy and you could be extremely poor. It was never acceptable for a person to come in the Hebrew culture before the king of the Hebrew people and not bring them a gift. It was never acceptable. So important was gift giving in the Hebrew culture that the Hebrew language contains 15 different expressions, 15 different words, 15 different ways that they express gifts or gift giving. There's 15 different expressions of it. It was so important that it was true not only in the nation and in the culture of Israel, gift giving, but it was also true in the kingdom of God under the old covenant. Amen? Amen. Amen. Not only was it so important in the Hebrew culture when you were coming in to meet the king gift giving, it was also very, very important under the new covenant. Amen. Everyone, anytime they approached the tabernacle, was required to bring a gift. And Leviticus chapter 5, verse 7, look at this. It says, if a person sinned, he is to bring a lamb as a gift. And if he couldn't afford to bring a lamb, he could bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. Now, look at verse 11. If he couldn't afford to bring two turtle doves, he could bring some fine flour. The Bible says he could bring an etap or a little bit of fine flour, whatever it was. But no one was to appear empty-handed before the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah. No one was to appear empty-handed before the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah, okay? You had to have something. If you wanted to interact with him, you had to bring a gift for him. Some gifts were given voluntarily, but there were also involuntarily expected gifts from God. No gift, no access under the old covenant. I said no gift, no access under the old covenant. It was a high insult not to bring a gift to God. Church, if you did not bring a gift, you had no access to God. It was a complete and total insult to come and approach the tabernacle without a gift. No gift, no access. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the gift of the Father. Everybody say the gift of the Father. It's amazing that I can choose not to receive a gift. Is it amazing that I can choose not to receive a gift? Listen, there's three things basically that you really, if someone gives you a gift that you can do, there are three things that you can do. Number one, you can receive it and enjoy the gift. Number two, you can take it and throw it in the trash when they walk away. Or number three, there's something called re-gifting. Oh, come on. Where's my re-gifters at? Oh, come on, y'all act like y'all so holy. Where's my re-gifters at? There's entire websites on re-gifting. I'm not kidding, y'all. Can you believe it? It's when someone gives you a gift that you don't like, and you turn around, and when they leave, you package it back up, and you give it to somebody that you don't like much either. Re-gifters. Called re-gifting. Here's what they said. Listen, there's rules for re-gifting. If you're going to re-gift, don't ever use the wrapping paper that a gift came in. The scotch tape is a dead giveaway. The scotch tape is always a dead giveaway. Be careful that you don't re-gift the gift to the same person that gave it to you. That's very important. Tara is always very careful not to ever re-gift. She works very hard. Oh, never mind, move on. We get a lot of gifts. I'm kidding. The difference that I want you to understand, and I'm preaching about this morning, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The difference I want you to, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He really is. And can I tell you, he is available to you this morning. I said he is a gift. He is a gift from the Father, and he is available to you this morning. The Holy Spirit is available to you this morning. A gift under the New Testament. Listen to this very carefully. Something miraculous happened. I am sweating so bad. Something miraculous happened in the Old Testament. Listen, under the Old Covenant, I want you to understand, listen to me very carefully. Under the Old Covenant, it was men bringing gifts to God. Amen? But something powerful happens as you move into the new covenant. You know, when they would bring the gift, they would almost hold their breath, and they would come up and probably almost hold their breath and be like, I hope he accepts it. Does he accept the gift? Right? They're coming and hopefully praying that God, their gift would be acceptable. I hope it's good enough. I hope God takes it and he can forgive me for the, and I hope, God, please, 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 please. I hope the turtle dove's enough. I hope the pigeon's clean enough. I hope the lamb's clean. I hope, and it was always not quite measuring up. Always wondering, well, if I go in there, is God going to accept me? Is God going to forgive me? And I want to tell you something. It's really, really, really hard to measure up to a holy, powerful God. Amen. Now listen to this, but in the New Testament, something shocking happened. In the Old Testament, they were always trying to, but in the New Testament, listen very carefully, something shocking happened. Something surprising happened that first Christmas. Instead of gifts being given by men going upward, the gift that God gave came downward to men. Come on. Something happened. It's God in the New Testament that gives us gifts. It's not us that is giving gifts to him. That's the amazing thing. The gift giving under the New Testament is a whole new way. The gift giving under the New Covenant is totally different than the gift giving under the Old Covenant. The first time in human history that God gave a gift to man was in Bethlehem. Thank you. I appreciate that. The first time that God gave a gift to man was in Bethlehem. Psalm 68, 18, watch this. In the Old Covenant, it says this. You have ascended on high. See, he didn't even know. I want you to think about this. He didn't even know what he was seeing. He didn't know what he was, he saw a vision. Watch. The psalmist, he said, there's a God. His name is Jehovah. And I see him ascending on high. You have led captivity captive, and you have, listen to the words, received gifts from men, among men. That's what that means. It said, you have received gifts among men. You have received gifts from men. That's what it means. You receive the gifts. This God, under the old covenant, receives the gifts. And then it goes on to say in verse 19, watch this. Blessed be the Lord God who daily, everybody say daily, loads us down with benefits, the God of our salvation. Under the old covenant, you brought a gift. Listen to me. If God accepted it, he loaded you down with benefits. Amen. Daily. Amen. Daily. You would bring a gift, and if God accepted it, the Bible said that he would load you down with benefits daily. Amen. But watch this. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, watch verse 7 and 8. This is under the new covenant, the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says something very profound here, church, and he's quoting from Psalm 68, okay? Now watch, he's quoting from Psalm 68. He said, you received the gifts, this God, under the old covenant, right? And then in Psalm 68, under the new covenant, the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this, verse 7, but to each and every one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's what? Watch this, verse 8. Therefore, he said, this is Psalm 68, watch. He's quoting Psalm 68. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Amen. Y'all missed it. Under the new covenant, under the old covenant, it said that God received gifts from men. Under the New Testament, Paul changed it. Paul changed it. He quoted the exact same scripture from Psalm 68. He said he led captivity captive, but gave gifts to men. Boy, if you ever get a hold of that. He changed it. He said, under the new covenant, you give gifts unto men. Watch, he who ascended. Who was that? Jesus. He said, he who ascended on high, that was Jesus. He went down into the grave and into hell. He has now ascended. He descended. Now he has ascended. And he who has ascended from the grave. Well, I want to ask you a question. Who was it that ascended up from the grave? Come on. His name is Jesus. Amen. That he ascended up from the grave. Watch this. Who came up from the grave? It's the Old Testament Jehovah. New Testament Jesus. Watch this. That is he who was born into human form in Bethlehem. The Old Testament Jehovah, the Old Testament God, was the one who was born in human flesh in Bethlehem. It was the same God. Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Covenant. It's very important. This is very important. Let me tell you why I know Jesus was God. Look at Ezekiel 37, 13. This is what God said. He said, you shall know that I am the Lord. Here's what you're looking for. He said, you will know that I am the Lord, and here's what I want you to look for. When you're looking to see when God shows up on earth, here's what I want you to look for. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, O my people, and I bring people out of the graves. Come on, somebody. He said, you'll know that God is on earth when you see me open the graves, oh my people, and I bring my people out of the graves. Well, I want to ask you a question. Who opened the graves in the New Testament? Who said, Lazarus, come forth? Who raised the dead over and over and over again in the New Testament? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He said, you will know when God is on earth when these things happen. His name is Jesus. Watch this. Job 9, verse 8. He said, he alone. Job saw a vision. Job had no idea. I want you to understand this. Job had no idea what he was seeing. He had no idea what he was looking at. He saw a vision, and he saw God, and he said, I see one God who alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Come on. Next verse. Nope, that's the only one. Right here. He alone. No, I'm sorry. That's my fault. That was the only one. I want to show you this. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Job had seen a vision, and he said, I don't know what I'm seeing. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. He saw a vision, but he saw a vision of God walking on the water. So I ask you again, who's the water walker in the New Testament? Who walked on the water? Who came in the middle of the storms when the disciples were going under and said, peace be still? Who came up and... He came up and said, peace be still, and the waves and the winds obeyed him, and he walked right back to the boat. Job didn't know what he was seeing. It's the oldest book in the Bible, and he said, I see a God who spread out the heavens and is walking on water. He's seen it. How do you know God is Jesus, right? 600 years before Bethlehem, in Isaiah chapter 35, he said, say to them that are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear, God will come. Listen, he's coming, y'all. He's coming, and he's coming with a vengeance. I said he's coming with a vengeance, and he will come and save you. Verse 5, watch this. And you will know that he has come then. That word then, listen, that word then means this is how you'll know. He said, you'll know when you start seeing the eyes of the blind begin to be opened. And the ears of the deaf unstopped. And the lame will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb will sing. When you start seeing blind eyes open. Well, who in the world opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes in the New Testament? Jesus did. Who in the world made the lame walk? Bartimaeus said, I don't see, but now I see. Who caused the lame to leap like a deer? Who caused the deaf ear to hear? Who caused the man who couldn't speak all of his life? Look at Mark 7:35. Look at Mark 7:35. Look what he said. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. That's Jesus Christ. When you see these things start happening, Isaiah said, you'll know that God is here. Who did that? His name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. And we ought to realize that he is the gift. I said we ought to realize that he is the gift. You will know that God is on earth when you see the lame start leaping like a deer, the deaf start hearing, the mute will start talking. Oh, come on, somebody. You ought to give him a praise for that. Give him a praise right now. Thank him for that. Thank you, thank you. There we go. Thank him for the gift. Jesus is the gift. Sometimes we make like the whole New Testament is about you giving your life and giving your past and giving your present and giving your future, come on, to God. And that's very important. Giving all of that, your past, your present, your future, giving everything to God. But I'm sorry to tell you that the whole gospel is not about you. I said, I'm sorry to tell you that the whole gospel is not about you. It's not about what you give God. That's very, very important. That is very, very important. Give him your life. But boy, you won't have problems giving your life if you realize that he's the one who gives you the gifts anyway. Amen. Amen. You won't have a problem giving him your life if you know that when you give him your life, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless your finances. He's going to bless your home. He's going to bless your children. Then you don't have a problem giving him your life. Amen. If you ever realize that God is the giver, not you. Come on. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Amen. 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 It's what the Bible says. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. He will load you down. He will load you down if you will just honor him and love him and serve him. Amen. I'm trying to be good this morning. I really am. I'm sweating bad in a sweater. But I feel like we take for granted the most ultimate gift, and his name is Jesus. We take it for granted, church. We take for granted the most ultimate gift that has ever been given, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not common, church. It's a spectacular, unbelievable, unimaginable, unspeakable gift that we have been given in Jesus Christ. I said it is an unimaginable, unexplainable, unspeakable gift that we have been given in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm almost done. And I want you to lean in real quick, because Luke 11:13 talks about gifts. Amen. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Question. How many of you in here intend on making sure your children have got gifts to open up on Christmas morning? Come on, let me see your hand. Raise them up. The rest of you are not telling the truth. Liar. Kidding. Rest of y'all ain't telling the truth. If you have children, you want them to have gifts. If you have children, you want them to have gifts. And that's why he said, if you be an evil. That's not a put down, church. Jesus ain't cutting you down. He's saying compared to God. Amen. Compared to God, none of us measure up. But he said, if you, in a flawed state, compared to God, have a heart to really want to bless your children and give them gifts and your grandchildren, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He didn't say he would give you forgiveness. Why didn't he say mercy? Why didn't he say grace? He said he will give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask him. Why didn't he say mercy or grace? Or he understood that when I give you the Holy Spirit, I give you me. That's what it was. He said, I understand that when I give you the Holy Spirit, I'm giving you my very self, Jesus Christ. The real purpose of Christmas was not just a baby born in Bethlehem. That was one time he came. Listen to me very carefully. It was beautiful, and we celebrate it, but the real message of Christmas is he is not Emmanuel, God with us, until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then he lives in you continually. He is not Emmanuel, God with us, until you receive the gift. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father. He is not Emmanuel, God with us, until you receive the Holy Spirit and he lives with you continually. Countless times today, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Countless times today, the Holy Spirit has watched over you. Countless times, the Holy Spirit today has noticed you. Countless times today, the Holy Spirit has noticed your little attitude. Oh, come on, somebody. Countless times today, the Holy Spirit has kept you from saying something silly. Countless times today, he's not Emmanuel, God with us, until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. David said in Psalms, if I go to hell, the Spirit is there. If I make my bed in heaven, the Spirit is there. You can't get away from it. No matter where you go, he'll never leave you alone. He'll follow you all the way to hell. Amen. You can't get away from it. Until you receive the gift, that's when he becomes Emmanuel. You got to understand that. He won't leave you alone. Don't matter if you're good. Don't matter if you're bad. Don't matter if you're naughty. Don't matter if you're nice. He ain't like Santa Claus. He's the Holy Spirit. He won't leave you alone. He loves you. He comforts you. He lifts you. He encourages you. And I couldn't have made it without the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody in here. Come on. Now, I mean really praise him this morning. I want you to really praise him this morning. I don't care if you brought your best friend. Praise the Lord this morning. Thank him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, you can't without him. You can't. He becomes Emmanuel. Woo. I'm thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. There's three times in the New Testament. Hey, we're going in with a song today. Y'all ain't leaving until I dismiss you. I just gonna throw that out. There's three times, listen to me very carefully, in the New Testament where the apostles use the word unspeakable. Everybody say unspeakable. Everybody say unspeakable. There's three times in the New Testament where the apostles use the word unspeakable. The first time is when the apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:4. He's called up into the third heaven, the Bible says. He's called up into heaven, and he is on a tour of heaven. And the things that he saw, specifically, more particularly, the things that he heard. The things that he heard. And here's what he said. He said, "The words that I heard were unspeakable words, which I cannot repeat." Now I want you to listen. It was so overwhelming, the sounds and the words that I heard. I don't know who he bumped into. He might have bumped into Abraham. He might have bumped into Isaac. He might have bumped into Jesus himself. But he said, "The words that I heard were so magnificent." Oh, come on, somebody. He said, "The words that I heard were completely unspeakable, and it is unlawful for me to even try to utter them. I can't even speak them." Amen. It was so overwhelming, the words and the sounds. I don't know who he bumped into, but whoever he bumped into, it was completely unspeakable. Amen. And then the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:8, he said, "When I saw the resurrected Savior..." If you read it down to that point, he said, "When I saw the resurrected Savior," he said, "you haven't even seen him and you love him, though seeing him not yet still believing. I saw him," Peter said, "and one day you're going to see him too." If you read up to that and he says, "You will, when you see him, rejoice with joy unspeakable." Hallelujah. Boy, we don't have much joy down here sometimes, do we? Won't have much joy down here sometimes. Man, it just feels like, oh, it's been a rough year. It's been a rough year. But boy, I'm here to tell you, someday we're going to see him. Someday we're going to see him and we're going to rejoice with joy ahead of us. And I hear the Lord saying next year's going to be better. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be joy. Everybody say unspeakable. Unspeakable. Shout it out loud. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands in expectation. Clap your hands right now if you believe it. Clap your hands if you believe that joy is coming. Clap your hands in faith. Clap your hands and say, "I'm believing for unspeakable joy." You can't even put it into words. The word unspeakable means unimaginable, unexplainable, undefinable. It's unspeakable. And there's one more time that is found. 2 Corinthians 9:15, when the Apostle Paul, when he thought about the gift that you and I have been given through Jesus Christ. Now I want you to listen to me, folks. Because Jesus was one man. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus was one man. The baby was one baby born in Bethlehem. He grew up, became a man at 33 years old, carried a cross to Golgotha. He took my sins and my sickness. He took your sin and your shame. He nailed it to the cross. He died a brutal death, and he rose 3 days later. Then 40 days later, he went up on a cloudy elevator to heaven, and he sits in the seat of authority, and all power and authority has been given unto his name. But listen to me. He said, it's expedient that I go away. He said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I don't leave you, the story really is not just the story of Bethlehem and the cradle and Calvary and the cross. He said, but I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you the gift. Everybody say the gift. He was one baby, one time, born once. I will send you the gift of the Father. And this is what Paul said about that gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Everybody read this out loud together, and I want you to say it from your heart. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. That's what he said about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the unspeakable gift. Don't that go off inside of you? Does that not go off inside of you a little bit that we have an unspeakable gift this Christmas? Amen. That we have an unspeakable gift this Christmas that he wants to give you. Oh gosh, if you could just get a hold of that. I can't even put it into words. It's unspeakable. It's unimaginable. It's unexplainable. Amen. When I feel like giving up, the Holy Spirit won't let me give up. And when I feel discouraged, he won't let me. He lets me wallow there for a minute, but then it ain't long before I feel him nudge me and saying, I'm not through with you yet. Better days are coming. Hold on. Get up and stop being a crybaby. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! The Holy Spirit is the gift that just keeps on giving. I'm the God of breakthrough. And I want you to shout right now one more time, thanks be unto God. For his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Woo. They did the woo too, huh? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Y'all copied everything I said, didn't you? Praise the Lord God. We don't come out here, guys. Listen to me. We don't come out here with just folded arms and sing a song. It's not what we do. We don't come out here with just folded arms and sing a song. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ.